But we are in week three of this series that we've been in, When the Spirit Moves. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And last week, specifically, we talked about how the Spirit is a person. And I'm sure, and I say this because I'm lovingly reminded sometimes of how often I repeat myself. And sometimes it's because I forget that I said that, you know. Other times I'm repeating myself for emphasis. So last week was a case of me repeating myself for emphasis. And one of the reasons that this is such a, it's such a big deal for me, for us to have this in our, and not just the Holy Spirit, as we think about God, to think of God and understand that God is a person. It really comes out of a personal journey, a struggle that I had when I was a young adult. I graduated from high school. I was blessed enough, but I made it to Olivet for a semester. I was blessed to be able to go to Olivet, and through just a series of events, some things took a dramatic shift in my life. Some because of the decisions I made, you know, as we do when we're young. And I spent some time outside of the church. I spent some time away from God. And God just graciously drew me back. And I am not one that thinks that I found my way back to God. He was calling me back the entire time. And I had people praying for me. I had been given enough of a foundation, I think, as a younger person, that even though it didn't click completely as a young adult, it, eventually there was enough to bring me back, and God just started drawing me back. Well, I struggled when I came back to Christ because I'm probably not the only one that has had this issue. God was just flat. I had a hard time getting my mind and heart around this reality that God is a three-dimensional, complex being. And I've talked about it this way, maybe not here, but the best way that I can describe what it was like for me was that, you know, and you may have done this as a child, but, you know, there's the joke about kids at Christmas and on their birthdays, you get them a big present, they unwrap it, and they end up playing with the box. Well, for me, it was like trying to play with the picture on the box. I could see it, and I could describe it, but it was flat. I just couldn't. It just seemed like a flat, one-dimensional image. And until I started to realize, or until God started convincing me that He was a person, as we talked about last week, that He thinks, that He feels, that He wills, that He acts. Sometimes we're uncomfortable talking about this because we know what we're like as persons, and so we hesitate to attribute some of that to God. But one of the things to understand is that He is all of those things perfectly. He thinks, it's perfect. And not just, He does that as each member of the Trinity. And so as the Holy Spirit feels and thinks and acts and wills, He does so perfectly, and He does so in complete harmony with the other two members of the Trinity, with the Father and the Son, and they do so with Him and with each other. And so that's why I want us to keep that in our minds and in our hearts, that God is a person, because the moment He starts getting flat, it's hard to worship a flat image. It's hard to worship something that seems lifeless and just something that you really just can't get your... I mean, we're never going to get our hands and our minds fully around who God is, but when we understand that He is a personal, relational being, how we respond and relate to Him, it takes on a little bit different life. It takes on a little bit different meaning when we understand that. We talked about last week about offending the Holy Spirit. You can offend a person. Can't really offend a force. You can try to oppose a force, but there's this deep emotional core to who God is, that when we sin, it's not just violating some law that's out there in the universe. We are violating the very person of who God is. And so that's why that's such a big deal to me. When we sing these songs, when we sing Do It Again, you know, we're singing to a person. He's a person unlike any other person we will ever encounter in our lives, or but he is a person, and so that's just a big, you'll hear me beat that drum. And that's really where that comes from. It comes from a journey that I had to come through to, and God was very silent in my life during that time. And I think he just had to teach me to trust in his presence and that he was there. And then when I trusted that he was really there, then he began to speak. You understand that I am here. And so my spiritual life just took on a whole different trajectory and direction after that. But we want to keep this idea and this reality of the Holy Spirit as a person, we want to look at what he does as a person. What does it mean for him to do what he does in our lives? And we're going to start off this week by looking at the witness of the Spirit. We kind of dove into this a little bit last week in talking about who the Holy Spirit is, that his primary task and role really is to point back to the Father and the Son. He has been given to us for the express purpose of revealing to us the Son and the Father. The Son came to reveal the Father and then gave us his Holy Spirit to really say, okay, now I've shown you all this, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you into what all of this means. But what does that look like, and what does that mean in our lives? And so I want to look at two passages this morning, one out of the Gospel of John and one out of the book of Romans, because there's kind of a layered aspect to what the Holy Spirit's witness is. This is not the great terminology to use to describe it, but you could describe it as having a negative aspect and a positive aspect, or an afflicting aspect in a certain sense and a comforting aspect. Because Jesus tells us on the one hand that the Holy Spirit comes to convict, but at the same time, he also comes to comfort and to remind us of who we are. And those are the two aspects that I want to look at this morning. So the first scripture I want to look at comes from John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. And this is Jesus. Jesus is in the midst of his closing discourse with the disciples as he's giving them kind of his final words and final instructions. And all through these chapters, he makes multiple references to the Holy Spirit and what this means for his disciples. So John chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. I know I read an extra verse, so I couldn't stop myself. In fact, I just read it, and then I was halfway through it before I realized I was reading verse 15. So, but as I said, Jesus is giving his closing discourse to his disciples, and there is a lot in here that Jesus says, not just in these few verses, but in these few chapters. And he says an interesting thing kind of in the middle of this. He tells them, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't. It's almost as if he could tell, and he sensed, he knew, you can't deal with this right now. You're having trouble processing all of this that I'm telling you. And it reminds me of some of the conversations we have with our kids. You don't understand why I am doing this to you or why this is happening. One day I hope you will. And that's kind of what Jesus is telling them. This is a difficult thing for you to go through right now. And I wish I could tell you more about it, but you're not, you just can't deal, you can't process it, you can't deal with it. But, and it would be interesting how much later this thought came back to the disciples that he tells them, but when the Spirit of Truth comes, he's going to lead you into all of this. That was probably not a statement in the moment that the disciples were like, oh, well, okay, well, if that's the case, then keep talking, Jesus. We're going to find out what all this means. I mean, it was probably something that in hindsight, they looked back and they went, as they started to understand, oh, this is what Jesus was talking about. This is what Jesus was trying to tell us that we just couldn't get through our thick heads. And now we have the Holy Spirit inside of us who's showing us and teaching us all of these things. And he has already, in this discussion or in this conversation with them, because really, other than a few questions that pop up here and there, it's really the same question over and over again. Where are you going? You're not telling us what's going on here? It's basically the same question they're asking over and over. He's already told them about the Holy Spirit. He's told them that when he goes, he's going to send them, that he's not going to leave them as orphans. They're not going to be alone. He's going to return to them. And so he's coming back to this reality that even though they don't think it's a good thing, it really is a good thing that he goes away for a time, because right now he's with them in kind of this temporary nature. You know, we can get close to another person, but there's still a barrier between us. And as long as Jesus walked around in flesh, he couldn't be with these disciples 24 hours a day. He couldn't be within, he couldn't walk within them the way that God had designed and desired for him to do. So he's telling them, well, this is probably one of those things that he is referring to when he says, you can't quite comprehend all this. I get it. But it's good for you that I go away, because if I do, then my Father can send myself, really, back to you, who will be in you, who will live within you, who will teach you all of these things that right now you're just not able to understand. And now he's digging into a little bit more of what they can expect from the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's role is going to be, first to the world, and then to them as the followers of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes in a way that it has never experienced it before, the world is going to start experiencing a chastening of sorts. And Jesus says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin. Now, he's very specific here. And it's not to say we're going to save this for a little bit, but it's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't point out things in our lives that we need to repent of and walk away from and put in his hands. But the way that he does it is a little bit different for those whose lives are already under the blood of Christ. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to, in a way that has never happened before, begin to speak into the lives of people who do not know him about not just behavior. We want to get beyond, obviously, sin just results in behavior. The state of their lives, the fact that there is separation between themselves and God. They need to know their condition. And here's an important thing for us to keep in mind, is that the only one qualified to really reveal somebody their condition to them is God. We can look at signposts in people's lives, we can give them cautions, but ultimately the only one who really knows and who really is qualified and can see into the heart is God himself. And so that's just a cautionary kind of word for many of us, that when we go to point out an error in somebody else's life, we need to do it, first of all, with fear and trembling. Because more often than not, if we go in guns blazing, there's some ricochets. And there's some unintended casualties along the way. So we need to do it gently, sometimes firm, but gently. But we need to do it understanding that ultimately the issue is not whether or not we think they're wrong. The issue is what God is saying to them. God can use us as a voice to speak into people's lives, but we are just that. We are not God himself. And another interesting thing to remember here is that when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, it's not just to heap guilt on someone. The Holy Spirit never convicts someone of sin without pointing them down the road of redemption. That's the whole. If the Holy Spirit's job is to point people back to Jesus, when he comes to someone to reveal their sin to him, it's so that they will stop what they're doing and turn to look where redemption and reconciliation exists, and it's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So he's pointing people back. It's not just to stand over somebody and point at them and tell them that they're wrong. He convicts, and it says he doesn't just convict of sin, he convinces of righteousness. So he not only opens people's eyes and their hearts to where their error is, he also opens their eyes and their hearts to where the correction of that error lives, and it's in the cross, in the work that Jesus has accomplished for us. So here's, we talked about a good rule of thumb for discernment last week. Here's another good rule of thumb in terms of conviction. It's not a hard and fast rule, but just something to keep in mind. If you're feeling convicted about something, but all you feel is guilty, and don't feel that God is drawing you to himself, one of two things is likely happening. One is, you just do not have a good understanding of the love and goodness of God. That there's something about him that that is causing you to fear him in a way that's not healthy, that's not drawing you. Or Satan likes to convict people. Satan likes to make people feel guilty. It could be one of those two things. How do we determine how it's one of those two things? Well, we come back to this, the guidance. We pray that God would give us the grace and reveal himself to us. If this is something that I need to take, if we're sincere about it, if this is something that I need to take care of, if this is something that needs your grace to cover in my life, then I'm going to need your help. And that's a prayer that God never rejects. But sometimes we have to work through things in our own lives to accept the forgiveness that God gives us. And as we're doing that, there's going to be another voice in our ears that says, yeah, but did he really forgive you for that? Yeah, but are you really? God loves this person. Look how well they're doing. And so it's a delicate balance to determine, is this something that is truly the Holy Spirit speaking to me, because he is going to be drawing you to God. Yes, he wants to stop you, and sometimes throwing something in your way is an abrupt stop. And sometimes it's a gentle kind of coaxing back. I'm glad in my experience of God calling me back, it was kind of a gentle coaxing. I didn't have any hard stops where there was something tragic, thankfully, that happened in my life that it could have been bad. But God gently drew me back to himself. And how I knew it was God telling me that I needed to change things was that I felt this just very tangible desire to come back to him. And so I knew that was the Holy Spirit convicting me and showing me, if you want to live a life that's abundant, this is where it is. It's not just, you're guilty, guilty, guilty. Good luck getting out of that. Okay, on to the next person. That's not the Holy Spirit. So that's part of the Holy Spirit's job as the witness, is that in kind of a, we view this as a negative sense, but I mean, if you really want to know if you're going the wrong, like, if you're following GPS and you know that the GPS is taking you the wrong direction, you would hope that somebody would step in and say, you needed to turn here. Rather than if you're an Office fan, being like Michael Scott and driving your car into the lake because the GPS told you to drive your car into the lake. That's one of the funniest moments in the history of The Office. But that's kind of, the Holy Spirit is almost a little bit of a spiritual GPS in our lives, where sometimes he has to come and speak to us and say, you need to go, you need to turn, you need to change, because this is wrong. But we're not just going to leave you in wrong. I'm going to show you, and we're going to give you the grace as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be able to write your course and to be able to do these things. Which leads us to the positive side of the Holy Spirit's witness. He doesn't just come to give us, look at it this way, to give us bad news, although it's funny how your perspective on things, you know, if we really understand how the Holy Spirit convicts, when he convicts, he's actually giving us good news, because he's shining the light in a dark spot in our lives that needs to be uncovered and needs to be brought to God. So, you know, from our kind of human point of view, it feels hard, it feels difficult, because in a sense we are being shown our true state apart from God, but really it ends up being good news. And then once we respond to that good news, the Holy Spirit's witness in our lives does not change. We see this as Jesus begins to kind of talk about this after he tells his disciples, you know, there's a whole lot more I want to say to you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of Truth comes, he's going to remind you of all this. He's going to lead you. He's going to show you these things. He's going to guide you. And if you belong to me, then you will have the Spirit with you and in you, that he's going to do these things. He's going to comfort you. He's going to remind you of how I love you, how I still love you, how you are mine. He's going to continue to do that. And inferred in what Jesus says here is that this happens as they remain in him. As they belong to Jesus, everything that the Father has belongs to Jesus, and he gives. So as we belong to him, we receive what belongs to him. And they belong to each other. And he gives the Spirit to those who belong to him. And Paul in Romans 8 gives us a little bit more insight into this. Romans 8, verse 12. He says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." So this is the positive witness. But Paul doesn't give us this about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are children of God without giving some caveats at the beginning. He says, for those who are in Christ, he reminds them that our obligation is not to the sinful nature. We don't owe anything to our past life. That this fear of missing out kind of thing that you don't hear about it much anymore. That's because we don't have to talk about it. People just, this is their MO that they use. We're not missing out on anything from that former life. And so Paul reminds these believers in Rome that they don't have any obligation. Now that they belong to Christ, now that they are the sons and daughters of God, they don't have any obligation to their former family spiritually. They don't have any obligation to say yes to the temptations because they are not controlled by that anymore. They are controlled by the Spirit, if in fact they do belong to God. And it's not a spirit that drives us into fear. We don't live lives as slaves. We live lives as sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. That's a very different relationship from slave and servant. We are still servants of the Most High, but we are servants of the Most High as His adopted sons and daughters, provided we walk according to the Spirit. So what does that do for us? Well, it says the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Spirit is that He will bear witness to us and remind us that we are, in those difficult times, in those times that we're discouraged, in those times that we're tired because our three-week-old will not sleep through the night. That's not for my benefit. I've actually slept pretty well. Or when the other two feel like they have duplicated to four. That's more been my experience in all of this. He reminds us in those difficult times where I'm just like, well, screwed that up. He reminds us that we are. Now, is there something that we may need to make right? Yeah. But we belong to God. He testifies to our spirits that we are the children of God. Now here's the tricky part of this is you're probably not going to feel that as much as you. Let me start that over again. I had an idea where that thought was going, and then it just, like, I let the air out of the balloon. There, the GPS was leading me into the pond. thank you, Holy Spirit. You're probably not going to feel that often. It's going to, that's something, at least in my experience, I'm a person who does not trust my feelings, and so I swallow them. And it's starting to gather right in here. And so you're probably not going to emotionally feel loved by God a lot. And so this takes a great degree of trust and understanding of the fact that, yes, God does love me. Remember the conversations you would have in your head when your parents would yell at you when you were a kid, that you would doubt whether or not, of course, you're emotionally immature and still figuring things out. You wondered if your parents still loved you and things like that. There's going to be times that, as a Christian, you feel that way. But the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us and remind us that as long as we are sensitive, as long as we are walking by His power, as long as we are bearing the fruit that we love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, as long as those things are being produced in our lives, we belong to God. He loves us. He's making those things in our lives. And as long as we are opening our lives up to the Holy Spirit to do His work, even in those moments where we don't feel loved, we can trust that, yes, we in fact are loved. God has not abandoned us. Now, I talk about the time, that kind of journey as a young adult, where I had to learn that even though God he just seemed quiet, and he wasn't being cruel to me, he wasn't being cold, he wasn't even being distant. In fact, I came to realize in the future that God was closer to me in those moments than he had ever been before. I just had to know where to look for him. I had to look for him in those kind of quiet moments where I would open up the Word of God and something just clicked. Of course, that's God speaking to you. It took me a while to figure that out. But I know that God was near me because I made it through that whole experience. And it set me up, I believe, to go through other experiences later in life that were much more difficult, much more heavy. I will talk about this till the day that I die, because this is just, I have no explanation as to how my wife and I are still standing and sane than the grace of God. 2015, we had an open heart surgery, lost two parents, lost a job. It is the grace of God that we are even breathing today. Grace of God directly into our lives, but mostly through the people of God coming alongside of us. And even in those moments where we didn't really feel like God abandoned us, but you go through things and you're just like, he's not quite as close and not quite as active as I thought he was. Yes, he is. You just may need to get on the other side of that sometimes to see it. Just like Jesus telling his disciples, there's so much more I want to say to you. Right now you can't bear it. But somewhere down the road. And looking back on, I wouldn't want to go back to 2015 for any amount of money. But it's amazing to me how you learn the power of the grace of God, and you don't realize how active it is until you're in those moments where you are in desperate need of it. And then you may not even realize it until after it's already done its work. And then you look back and you say, I've got no explanation for that. Other than that God in his goodness to me, his Spirit walking alongside of us and working, that's the only way. And one of the things that's most exciting about that is that when I stand up, when I tell stories, it's nothing to do with me. I want you to know through our experience how good God can be even in the darkest moments. But I also want to encourage you that sometimes the goodness is not immediately. You think that the disciples, when they were watching Jesus die on the cross, thought, this is God being good? No. I don't even think Jesus in his humanity, why have you turned your back on me? He didn't sin in saying that, but there's that aspect of even Jesus in his humanity is trying to understand. He knows what the ultimate end of this is, but sometimes that goodness is not immediately evident. And just like way back when Jesus said that to his disciples, sometimes it takes some time for us to hear and sense that witness of the Spirit that God loves us, that God cares for us. And there's probably even going to be some situations that this side of heaven we won't be able to fully understand and comprehend the goodness of God in a particular situation. But when you look at how God moves over time and how he operates in our lives through history, we see how he constantly delivers on his goodness. He delivers on his grace. And he has given us his Spirit to remind us of those things. when you're in a difficult situation, it's hard to remember the good times. But I believe that that's one of the ways that God uses the Spirit. Remember when I did this? Remember when I did this? What makes you think that I can't, to steal a line from a song, do it again? He parted seas. He did. What makes you think that I can't do that again? And so, as we are followers of Jesus, the Spirit doesn't. Yes, does He convict us? Oh, absolutely. If at some point in your life you don't feel the heaviness of something, an attitude or something like that, you might want to re-examine whether or not you really belong to Jesus, whether or not you're really allowing His Spirit to speak to you. But when He comes to remind us of those things, He does the exact same thing. He points us right back to Jesus. And He reminds us that God loves us, that the reason He doesn't want us to be this way, because He knows that this, He's created us for a specific purpose. He's created for us to reflect Him in a particular way. And if we're living our lives in ways that are reflecting anything but that, sometimes He's got to get our attention. And He will use the Holy Spirit to do that, but He does it so. Even when He does it roughly, He does it so loving. And so the question for us this morning is, what is the Spirit's witness in your life? Are you sensing His witness in your life? I've said this, that if there's something you're struggling with, there's a sense in which the struggle is good news, because you're still sensitive enough to know that that is a struggle. When there's something that you don't struggle with anymore, not because you've stopped doing it or you've gotten on the other side, just because you've given up, that's a caution. When there's no sensitivity to the fact that this is a wrong attitude or behavior or a wrong lifestyle, that's when you've kind of silenced the Holy Spirit in your life. But if he is drawing you to Himself, if you're struggling, that's good news. What's the Spirit's witness in your life? Is it one of comfort? Is it one of affliction? Or is it one of silence? Is there no witness at all? I can't answer that. I know each one of us struggle with different things. We struggle with different attitudes. We struggle with viewing certain types of people certain way. I don't know. I don't know what it is in your life. But I know that if you're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit as He reveals the heart and the will of God, and as He maybe sometimes points to things that need to be corrected, that's not bad news. That's good news. But the danger is, the more and more and more we resist that voice in our lives, that witness in our lives, the easier and easier and easier it becomes to ignore it until it's just silence. Nobody's beyond the reach of grace, but we can wander far, far, far from it. Going back to this idea of the Holy Spirit being a person, I don't want to break His heart. I don't want to. It's easier for me to think of Him as an impersonal force and just say I'm going to ignore it. But when you understand the heart of God as He reveals His Spirit to us, I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to break His heart. I don't want to violate Him. So what is the Spirit's witness in your life today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for even the, they seem hard words to us. And depending on how we process them, yes, they are hard words, but we also know that they are words of grace. even in the book of Revelation, as God is pouring out his bowls of wrath, if we look close, we understand that he's doing that because he is still reaching out, trying to get his humanity, the human beings that he has created in his image, to turn back to him. So he's not pouring out punishment. He's not pouring these things out to just punish or as bad news. These people have become so set in their sin and so focused on having their own way and calling their own shots that he has to use extreme measures to get them to acknowledge his lordship. And so our prayer is that we would not have to experience those things in our lives to respond to the witness of your Spirit in our lives. That as he puts his finger on things that we may need to bring to you, that attitudes, thoughts, behaviors that we may need to submit to you, that we would do so understanding that that's the fact that he's pointing those things out to us is good news. But he doesn't point it out to us so that we can wallow in our guilt and just kind of, say, yeah, well, that's just how I am. No, he points those things out to us. He directs us. He guides us so that we will become more and more and more like you. And later on in the series, we're going to look at how that work takes place in our lives as you cleanse and transform us. But may we, as you guide us, may we respond positively to that. And may we understand that as we do, that we're responding to you as our Father, that we're responding to you as one who loves us, one who has the best design for our lives. That you're not just standing in heaven lording it over us so that you can point out everything that we do wrong. You convict us and you point these things out so that we can become convinced of who you are and the rightness and the goodness of how you have called us to live. May you give us the grace to respond positively, to respond in obedience to these things that the Spirit reveals to us. And in those moments where we're just struggling to feel love, and to know that you are close to us, that you care for us, may you give us an extra dose of grace to see and experience that witness of the Spirit, that we are in fact, as our lives produce more and more of this fruit, that yes, we are your children. We are your sons and daughters. We belong to you. And as such, we are dearly, dearly, dearly loved. Be with all of us this week. We just pray for safe travel for those who are on the road this weekend. We miss them today, but are glad that they are able to get away. And we just pray for safe travels as they return. And we just pray that as you open doors for us this week, that we would make the most of every opportunity that you give us to be a reflection of who you are to those around us. We love you and pray these things in your name. Amen.